This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. His messengers, to all his
creatures. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to another episode of The Art of Da'wah. Today, inshallah, we will be speaking about the pillars of da'wah. These are the foundations that make up the da'wah and also the method and the way to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the right way and the correct way. In order for it to be the correct da'wah, it has to fulfill the following conditions. And these conditions can be derived, of course, from the Qur'an and from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Specifically, from the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ O Prophet, indeed we have sent you as person who bear witnesses over others. شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا And also a person who brings glad tidings, good news. وَنَذِيرًا And also a warner. وَدَاعِيًا And a caller, وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ Calling to who? Calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِإِذْنِهِ وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا And a bright lamp or a bright light for others. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a prophet and messenger to call others to what? To Allah. So the first pillar of da'wah is that you have to know who and what you're calling to. In other words, you have to have the knowledge of what you're calling to. And so, you have to have basira. Basira, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا Say, O Muhammad, this is my path. أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ I call to Allah. عَلَى بَصِيرًا Based on basira. Basira maybe can be translated as insight or knowledge. But basira encompasses many things. First of all, from this ayat, we know that the first rukun, the first pillar that we in da'wah is the thing that you're calling others to. So, that is to Allah. So a Muslim calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't call to tribalism. He doesn't call towards racism, nor does he call towards nationalism or anything like that. He calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة على بصيرة The scholars have said that it encompasses what you're calling to and the person whom you're calling, you have to know also, you have to know what you're calling to and then you have to know the person that you're calling to and then you have to know the method to use to call that person to. And so this is البصيرة. This is what a da'i needs, first of all, knowledge. Al-ilm, knowledge. You have to have knowledge and you have to call people towards that which is appropriate. As a Muslim, of course, we call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he told him, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمَ أَهْلِ كِتَابٍ فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ Shahadat Allah ilaha illallah. You are going to the people of the book. So let the first thing that you call them to be La ilaha illallah. That is, call them to the worship of Allah alone, calling them to Tawheed. And so that's the first thing that you call them to. And you have to know what also when you're calling others, you have to be knowledgeable. Because if you're knowledgeable and you don't know what you're calling people to, you might be calling people towards that which is obligatory, and you're maybe there's something that's obligatory, but you're not calling them to that which is obligatory, meaning something that's might be haram, but you're calling people to it if you don't have not the proper knowledge. Also, there might be something that's mubah, and you're calling people to do something, or you're obligating it upon others to do it. Or there, it might be something that's haram, and you're calling people to do it. And it might be something that is obligatory, and you're not calling them to do the things that are obligatory. If you don't have knowledge, you might not be calling them to that which is obligatory, and you're actually trying to call them to that, to force them to do things that they might not be doing. So that's the first thing that you have to have, is knowledge of what you're calling people to. The second part, or the second pillar, you have to know the condition of the person that you're calling. You have to know who they are. In order for you to call them, you have to know who they are. That's why the Prophet ﷺ informed Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He said, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمَ أَهْلِ كِتَابٍ. You are going to a people of the book. I mean, in other words, you're going to the Christians and the Jews. So he told them about the condition of those people. He told them that they were Christians and Jews so that he can appropriately call them to that which is needed to be called to, which is, of course, Tawheed. It's always Tawheed when you call people to Islam. The first thing that you try to do is call them Tawheed. But at the same time, you have to really know the condition of the people. There are some mistakes that some people make that, because they do not know the condition of the people, they make mistakes and they might say things inappropriately. So you really have to know the condition of the person or the people whom you're calling very well. If this person is a new Muslim and you see them making mistakes, of course you're not going to scold and yell at that person. I remember one time there was an incident that occurred in the masjid that I'm the imam of in Seattle. And what happened, there was this Muslim, this new Muslim. He had just accepted Islam less than a month. And when he came to the masjid, he did certain things that he did not know that he wasn't supposed to do. But there was this man, elder man, he came and he started scolding him and yelling at him, saying things like, you know, how could you do such things? But he didn't even know it was wrong. And so he didn't even know, he's just a new Muslim. So sometimes when you're approaching a person, if you see somebody, maybe you should know that person a little bit more to see what kind of person that person is. Ask the people who might know that person more better before approaching that person that is making the mistake. Because, you know, that person who actually made the mistake, he returned back to me a year later. And, you know, this was the first time in our masjid, the masjid that I was the imam of. And he told me later on, he said, I never came back to your masjid for all these times because of this incident that occurred. And of course, this elder man, maybe you can't blame him, but at the same time, you know, you have to take time. If you see somebody who's new, at least ask who that person is and where they're coming from and whether they're new Muslims or not. And I'm sure somebody in the masjid, maybe they will know. And so it's very important to know the condition of the person whom you're calling. And if they are Christians, of course, then know the beliefs that they believe in. And if they are Jews, then know about their beliefs also. You have to know a little bit about them at least, so that you know what to call to. It's just like a doctor. You know, when a doctor is checking on a patient, the doctor does not prescribe the medicine immediately. What does the doctor do? The doctor diagnoses the patient carefully. He makes sure that he knows what sickness has afflicted that person before he starts giving the medicine. So when you're making da'wah, you're giving medicine to that person, when you're giving Islam, you're giving medicine to that person. You have to know the condition of that person, what that person needs first, and then you prescribe the medicine the appropriate way. And so as a da'i, you have to be like that doctor, that diagnosis first. You have to know the condition of the person whom you are calling. And after you know the condition of the person, then you will know what to use and what to prescribe for that person, appropriate amount and the appropriate time and the appropriate way. If you do not know the condition of that person, then you will not be able to prescribe the correct medicine. So we will take a break now, and we hope that you will stay in your seats. And after the short break, we will come right back. Wa jazakumullah khair. Welcome back. Right, today we are speaking about the conditions or the pillars of da'wah. And we mentioned that what you really need to have, first of all, is knowledge or basira, insight on what you're calling people to. That means knowledge, of course, the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. And Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has been called, you know, a da'i, da'iyan ilallah, that the person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi'idhnihi, with his permission. In other words, whatever Allah, whatever God tells him to call to, that's what he's going to call to. So you call people to that which Allah tells you to call to. You have to have knowledge of that which is obligatory, that which is sunnah, that which is mandatory, and that which is supererogatory, and so forth. We said that you have to know the condition of the person that you're calling to, so that you can prescribe the right medicine. And knowing the condition, knowing the person that you're calling to, is very, very important. Because if a person is not in need of certain things, or he's in need of certain things, and you call them to something else that they might not need it yet, or they might not be able, ready to accept it yet, then most likely they're going to reject it or feel that you're just nagging. A lot of times, we approach people who are not practicing. And sometimes we see that they're doing something that's wrong. And it's true, that particular action is wrong, but that person might need something else before speaking about that particular issue that they're wrong about. Let me give you an example to clarify this point that I'm trying to make. Sometimes we see sisters who are not practicing, but they're just trying to come back to Islam. Or they are not, they might practice certain things, but they might not cover themselves properly, or they might not even be covering themselves. And so you approach that person, and you might say to that person, "Sister, do you know that the hijab, the head cover, is obligatory? Why are you not covering yourself?" That person might not be ready. If you don't know the condition of that person properly, that person might be just someone who has not been practicing for a long time. And they're just trying to come to the masjid and coming back to the deen. And this occurred in my masjid, in the masjid where I'm the imam of. In Seattle once also, a sister came in. Of course, she wasn't wearing hijab. And some of the other sisters, you know, they were, you know, scolding her and speaking about the hijab and so forth. But they didn't know that this person was really, you know, somebody who had never even come to the masjid for a very, very long time. And so if this is her first time trying to come back, you know, the thing is, alhamdulillah, at least she's at the masjid. Maybe she's not ready to take the next step yet, but you take it easy maybe and ask the people. If you were to know that, you know, the condition of this sister, you would approach her a little bit differently if you knew what condition she was before she even started thinking about coming to the masjid. And so sometimes we have to start with iman. We have to start with tawheed, of course, and we have to start with iman. In building their iman up, after the iman comes up, you will realize that they will put on the headscarf themselves. They will cover themselves properly when iman enters the heart. And so there are some people who are not praying, for example, and they might be doing some other things that might be, you know, might be haram also, but they're not praying yet. So how do you get somebody like that who's not praying yet to pray? Well, if you tell them to pray all the time, and you just tell them, oh, you know, you're not praying, you need to pray. You're not praying, you need to pray. They might feel that, and that's the only thing they're telling them, that they might feel that, you know what, this guy, they don't want to talk to you anymore. You're like a nagging them all the time and bothering them. Maybe the best step, the best thing to do is to speak to that person about the hereafter. Speak to that person about iman, about the hereafter, about the grave, about hellfire, about paradise. And so you have to speak to them so that their iman will come up. And you can build, once they build up their iman, inshallah, they'll start praying. They'll realize that, you know, prayer is obligatory, and when the iman comes up, they'll automatically pray. So if it's not working, if you're telling them to pray all the time and they're still not praying, maybe invite them to another, to an event, an Islamic event, that will remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe you can give them tapes on other topics that are related to iman. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught tawheed, and he taught, when the Quran was revealed, the first 13 years of the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were related to issues of tawheed, the hereafter, and strengthening the iman before the specific obligations were revealed in Medina. And when it comes to prayers, like over 10 years before the Isra wal Mi'raj, before the obligatory prayers came about. And so that's why, if somebody is at a stage where they're just coming back to the deen, or they're not practicing at all, maybe the first thing that you should start with is not the hijab. And maybe it's not the beard, or it's not your thobe being below your ankle. Maybe that's not the time yet. Build their iman up before you go to the next step, and take it one step at a time. And that's why it's very important to know the person whom you're calling, the mad'u. And the next condition is kayfiyya. The next condition, the next pillar of basira. What basira means also, you have to know the, you know, hal kayfiyya ad-da'wa. I mean, the condition, or kayfiyya to da'wa. In other words, the method, methodology you're going to take to bring forward and bring forth this message. So really, if you don't know how to do it properly, if you don't know how to do it properly, then again, people are not likely going to accept it from you, even if you have the knowledge. And even if you know who they are, but you don't know how to do it appropriately or not properly, then they're not going to take it from you. And so as a Muslim, when you're calling people to Islam, or you're calling Muslims and you're calling them back to Islam, you're calling them to remind them that, so that they can be better Muslims and more practicing Muslims, you have to know how to do it properly. These are the conditions. You have to call to Tawheed. You have to know who you're calling to. You know the condition of the people you're calling. And then you have to take the appropriate steps. And you also have to understand, we have to understand that there are certain things that are permissible and certain things that are not permissible. And there are some things that we can compromise, and there are other things that we can't compromise. And even though you have to use wisdom, you also have to know the correct way to give it. So sometimes people think like they have to call people to Islam, and because, you know, they have read maybe the Sunnah, the Seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about maybe about the prohibition of alcohol, and somebody, you know, maybe is drinking alcohol, and because they don't know the rulings, I mean, they don't know the condition or the way to do it, they might, you know, take it from the Sunnah and say, okay, wait, since at the beginning of Islam it wasn't prohibited, you know what, it's not, I'm going to just say right now, it's not prohibited. You might go to, because you might come to a village that everybody's drinking, and you might say, oh, you know what? It's not prohibited. And thinking that this is okay, because at the beginning it wasn't prohibited. But maybe you can take steps. You might not talk about that yet. But you don't tell people that it's not prohibited when it is prohibited, because Islam is already complete. Islam is already complete. And so the way and the method that you take is very, very important. And in order for us to practice and do it correctly, we also have to understand that the Prophet ﷺ has already taught us all that is needed. Every haram, everything that's prohibited, has already been taught to us by the Prophet ﷺ. And everything that is permissible has already been mentioned to us by the Prophet ﷺ, either directly or in principle. And we can find it in the books of fiqh, and the books of course, the Qur'an and the Sunnah and the books of fiqh. But we have to know how to bring that across. And we have to do it appropriately with proper manners. And if you don't have proper manners, then by doing so, you're going to cause maybe a fitna. Like at the time of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, when he would come to Medina, and this is of course the place of Imam Malik, and he was the Imam there. When people would ask him about fatwa, he would not give fatwas. He would not give fatwas because out of respect for Imam Malik. And so even though he might know the answer, but sometimes, if a person is in a new area and there's somebody that's already there, if you're going to give something, if you can give a fatwa that contradicts what that person is already there is saying, and these are, they might be acceptable differences, you might cause problems. And so that's why, even though you have the knowledge, maybe you have to also know the appropriate time, appropriate way. And this is al-basira, and this is also the wisdom that has been taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by the great scholars of Islam. And so our time has ended for this episode. And so we hope that you can join us for the next episode, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which we do not know, and also to help us to apply what we do know and to accept our deeds. Wa jazakumullahu khair wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. He created the universe.